In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, you've come to this retreat because you want to know, love, and serve God better in your daily life. Your ultimate goal in life should be to glorify God, save your immortal soul, and the souls of others. Life is very short. Eternity is forever. The most important thing in life is to prepare for heaven. Your number one duty is to become a saint. There are things that you need to correct in your spiritual life because souls always have need for improvement. Think about what it means to meet God face to face. Are you ready to be judged today and receive your eternal sentence? Your mortal soul is a precious diamond that needs to be purified before coming into the presence of God. Just as it takes time to shape and perfect a diamond, so it often takes a long time and much pain to purify your soul. Sometimes in his infinite mercy, God sends crosses so that you can obtain the graces you desperately need. A retreat gives you a unique opportunity to rid your heart of all that hinders your perfect union with God and prepare for death and judgment. When God calls you, you must be prepared. You must not die unprepared. During this retreat, you want to view everything in your life through spiritual eyes, so that you can see everything through God's perspective. If you're now lukewarm in the practice of your faith, the practice of virtue may appear too difficult and be a cause of despair. You cannot afford to be tepid. The fruit of a good retreat is a firm purpose of amendment and personal effort. My dearly beloved in Christ, time is very, very short, and Satan snatches souls every day. You must realize that we're living in the end times and have been given very special graces. The spiritual life, prayer and fasting, are more important than ever because Satan is out to destroy everything and everyone. Sister Lucia said, "The Most Holy Virgin made me understand that we are living in the last times of the world. She told me the devil is in the process of engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin. And a decisive battle is a final battle where one side will be victorious and the other side will suffer defeat. Hence, from now on, we must choose sides. Either we're for God or we're for the devil. There is no other possibility. I'll begin with the basics. You love your pets. How do you show that you love them? You take care of them. You feed, water, clean up, take to the vet, give them a bed, and keep them warm when it's cold. What do you expect back from them? You expect them to make you happy, to be good, and to love you back. How would you feel if your pet turned on you for no reason and then bit you? How do you think God feels when you turn on him and sin by rebelling and disobeying him? You hurt him deeply, but he still loves you, and he waits for you to go to confession and tell him you're sorry and try never to hurt him again. God loves you. How does he show you that he loves you? He's given you everything you need. A spouse, children, parents, family and friends who love you, a guardian angel to care for you, time, grace, food, clothing, a house for shelter, a doctor when you're sick, and everything else. But most important of all, he gave you his son, Jesus, to die upon the cross for you so heaven can be open and you can go there when your work is done. He gave you his own mother to be your spiritual mother. He loves each and every one of you with a love that's beyond your understanding. So much love. Jesus would go through the suffering of his sacred passion all over again just for one person. Why did Christ sacrifice himself upon the cross for your redemption, even though he knew sometimes you would be very selfish and commit sins? Do you love your children even when they hurt you deeply? Wouldn't you do anything for your children? We are God's children. If our Lord did not shed his precious blood for you, the gates of heaven would still be closed. Jesus suffered a brutal death upon the cross because he loves you and wanted to show you the evil of sin. What does God expect back from you for all of that? Only love and obedience. You can show God you love him by being kind and obedient, helping others, praying the rosary, praying with your family, going to confession, Mass, and Holy Communion. You can prove your love for God by humility, self-denial, prayer, cooperation with grace, obedience and conformity to his will. How important is obedience to God? It's very, very important. Remember, disobedience was a cause of the fall of Adam and Eve, which closed the gates of heaven to us. Obedience is one of the most important things. Obedience is so important because the Son of God was obedient to his Father. You must be obedient to the will of God in order to gain salvation. My dearly beloved in Christ, God created irrational creatures that do not have free will, such as rocks, plants, and animals. In addition, he created angels and human beings with free will, a wonderful gift whereby they must choose to serve God or Satan. They must choose to love God and go to heaven, or love mortal sin and go to hell. Not many people comprehend what eternity is. When you're judged, you'll appear before God and Satan. After judgment, God or Satan will say, "Mine," and you'll belong to one or the other forever. During exorcisms, the dominion of demons is made apparent. Often when an exorcism begins, the demon says, "Mine, I'm not leaving. I'm never going to leave. She belongs to me. I want this man. I want this woman." When asked when you will leave, the demon often says, "Never." Three hooded figures appeared to one possessed woman and said, "Just to let you know, we're still here." The fall of the angels occurred as a result of pride. Every sin stems from pride. Pride was a sin of Satan because he refused to serve and adore God. Satan and the demons were cast out and punished in hell. When Satan told the bad angels to rebel against God, he lied to them. He promised them that they could do whatever they wanted. Satan also promised them a kingdom, and that they would not have to serve him. When Satan and the demons tempt us, they also lie. They want us to choose an apparent good, such as a sinful pleasure, and ignore the consequences of guilt, shame, and punishment. "Do your own thing," they say. Satan deludes you into believing that there is no hell. Remember, he's the father of lies. He doesn't tell you that as a result of mortal sin, you'll have to serve him and be tortured forever in hell unless you repent and go to confession. The demons not tell you that mortal sin makes a soul an enemy of God, deprives it of sanctifying grace, deprives the soul of all the merits of its good actions, robs it of the everlasting happiness of heaven and makes it deserving of everlasting punishment in hell. One demon described his revolt against God this way. It's up to him. It's up to him. That's why we, the demons, did not want to serve. Because it was always up to him. We hated that. We got sick of it. And so we rebelled and we left. We just said, we will not serve anymore. We will not serve. Every mortal sin that you commit is also a defiant revolt against God. Another demon said, I used to be an exquisite angel, but I left with the others. So I asked him, why did you leave? Because we did not want to serve and listen to him. We were tired of serving and listening to him, listening to everything he had to say. We decided to revolt, and we were cast out. And then the demon showed great regret and pain, and they said, ooh, sometimes we wish that we had not left, but we can't go back. And then I said, but he loved you before you left, didn't he? And then he changed his whole tone and said, yes, he did. He did. And how did he show his love? And then the demon said, he showed his love to these creatures, in other words, to us, by coming down and sacrificing himself on that wooden stake over there. This stake. This is what he did. This is what he did. And then he screamed at the top of his lungs, who does that? I wouldn't have done it. Would you have, Radecki? Would you? For all these people in this round ball of an earth, he goes, I wouldn't have. And he says, I wouldn't have. Never, 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 never. And look, people continue to sin. Everybody is sinning, and the world is a mess. So what did he do it for? He did it for nothing. And then I said, no, he saved many souls. He redeemed us all. And then there'll be many in heaven with him. They're going to take your place and the other bad angel's place, right? But then he says, but there's a lot in hell. And he starts crying and whimpering. And I said, yes, isn't that sad? You're all going to suffer together. But the greatest loss is losing God, isn't it? And he says, yes, yes. And then said real slowly, stop asking me these questions. They hurt me. It hurts me to think about. It hurts me to think about not being in, and he didn't even say the word heaven. I don't want to go back to hell. My dearly beloved in Christ, Jesus showed his infinite mercy for us because he died for our sins and did not die for the sins of the bad angels. They can never get out of hell. They only had one chance. God has given you so many chances. You must cooperate with his graces and implore his mercy while you have time. Just as God tested the angels as a proof of their love and obedience in order to merit everlasting happiness, he also tested our first parents, Adam and Eve. Satan disguised himself as a snake and tempted Eve. She disobeyed God and tempted Adam, who sinned. Their sin was an infinite offense against God, who had given them countless blessings. His command was easy to obey because they were not influenced by passion, but through disobedience, rebelled anyway. As a result of original sin, Adam and Eve were driven from paradise. Sanctifying grace, we're deprived of their supernatural and preternatural gifts, including freedom from suffering and death. As a consequence of their sin, we come into the world without sanctifying grace. Our minds, in other words, our memory, imagination, and concentration are darkened. Our wills are weakened, and we have a strong inclination to sin. Consequently, even after baptism, our life is a spiritual combat against sin and the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is a war, a spiritual war between God and Satan for your immortal soul. Satan and the demons hate everybody and are constantly scheming and actively working to destroy families, marriages, your children, and your immortal soul. The devil makes sin look good, but doesn't tell you there's poison in it. Mortal sin is enough poison to kill the life of grace in your soul. Venial sin is less poison, but it makes you spiritually sick and weak until you fall into mortal sin because of your weakened state. My dearly beloved in Christ, since you have a free will, you're engaged in a spiritual combat. A lady from Chicago once told me that as a little girl, she heard an evil voice tell her, "We will battle for your soul your whole life." Another young lady told me that when she was very small, she heard a wicked voice say, "Jump out this second story window. You won't get hurt." In every temptation, the evil spirits tempt you to do evil and want you to think you won't get hurt. A demon once told me, "I'll give you a gold watch. This one is black." So I use this when I go scuba diving. And then he said, "Let's make a deal. I'll give you a church. I'll give you a lot of money, etc. You can have anything you want." So I said, "What's it that you can really give to people?" He said, "Damnation. Sinners can have whatever they want, but I will take their souls in the end." Another demon was even more explicit when he said, "Why don't you become one of us? I want you in hell." And then pointing to Father Gerardo, and him too. When people sin, it's easier to just continue to sin again and again. Graces do not continue to be given, and souls are thereby lost. Demons put distraction after distraction after distraction to keep people off the right track. Although sinners are supremely unhappy, many like their lifestyle and don't want to change. Little by little, they get worse until they don't care about anything. Most people don't care where they end up after death, and aren't afraid because they don't believe there is a heaven or a hell or a purgatory. They don't believe anything. They don't pray or go to church anymore. Sadly, they live for this world and this world alone. Sinners get so wrapped up in the world, they don't think about an afterlife. When they really don't care what happens, unbelief enters. And that's what demons want, for people not to believe. When the devil has a grip, he doesn't let go. My dearly beloved in Christ, you must be careful to avoid caring only about the things of the world, things that are passing and are not important to your immortal soul and spiritual life. When you commit sin, you open doors to evil. You may not understand at the time, but you will later. Evil is very structured. Sin is structured. Sin appears so small at first that it's hardly noticed. Evil creeps in slowly so as not to be noticed. You become driven by pride. The original sin of Adam and Eve was caused by pride, curiosity, and human respect. The sin of pride is one of the worst sins because it encompasses all the others. It's a deadly sin. Cut it out of your life. Cut it out of your life because it's a deadly cancer. Be humble, loving, and forgiving. St. Peter teaches, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. My dearly beloved in Christ, pride is accompanied by egotism and envy. A prideful person vainly seeks to be honored by all and lives in a continual state of agitation and anxiety, unrest. Do not pride yourself in the good that you've done, because it's little in comparison to the great things the saints have done. St. Augustine has written, if a man enumerates his services to thee, O Lord, what is it that he numbers but thine own gifts? Since without God we can do nothing, we must mistrust ourselves and not rely on our own strength alone. Even St. Peter fell into sin and denied our Lord because he relied on his own strength. St. Paul said, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Yes, we can do all that God requires of us, but not of ourselves. We need the assistance of God, who is our strength. My dearly beloved in Christ, when you fall into sin, you must not be discouraged, but humble yourself and be truly sorry for your sins. God sometimes permits you to fall in order to humble you, since you more plainly see your weakness after a fall. You must turn with still greater contrition and confidence to God. Impatience with self is a sign of pride. Surprise at your fall indicates conceit and lack of humility. In times of temptation, you must firmly trust in the infinite mercy and goodness of God. When you learn that another has fallen into mortal sin, you must not express wonder, but realize, there, but for the grace of God, go I. You should show compassion and continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. With the light of God's grace, temptations, spiritual drynesses, and faults will help you to see more clearly your own nothingness and misery. You'll be so busy trying to overcome your own sins and faults that you'll have no time to judge others harshly. When you humble yourself, God comes down to you. Humility attracts his mercy. Vanity is closely associated with pride. What are the spiritual dangers of vanity? There's so much focus on self and not on the things of the Spirit or God. Women sometimes dress indecently for other women, not men, because they're in competition with each other. Vanity is focusing on self instead of prayer and God. Just close with a final thought. There's a difference between following God and following the devil. When I follow God, I say, I will do whatever is right, no matter how I feel. When I follow the devil, I say, I will do whatever I feel, no matter what is right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.